Are there parts of motherhood that did not come naturally?
Do you feel overwhelmed? Are there secrets you wish you knew in advance about the motherhood journey?
Could you use a place to cope with motherhood, laugh your woes away, and lighten the mommy guilt?
Welcome to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance.
Welcome back to TORD, Finding a Mom Life Balance. Today's episode, parenting skill sets no one ever told you were needed. The parent mingler. Torn Tribe, we're going to continue on in our series of all the things that made you jaw drop when you became a parent. And I will say this parent mingler thing took me by surprise. Because as a child, I wasn't very social. I kind of went where my sister went or hung out with the people that my brother hung out with. And even I'll say this, Torn Tribe, I just went wherever my mom took me. So if that person had a child, I would hang out with them. But I didn't really advocate friendship for myself. So when I had social butterflies be my offspring, I was very shocked. How about you, Memes?
So interesting. Because what stands out to me about this thought is that I didn't think I had anything to do with the equation, but I find myself modeling certain behavior and being welcoming and making friends, or feeling like I'm in the process of being vetted by others for friends with the kids, and I didn't expect that. But I think I have latched to the friend idea. Like, Soph went to the book fair and came back with a bracelet with half a heart because her friend Annabelle gave her a bracelet and has one half, and they had like a BFF little bracelet thing. I remember doing that early on in elementary school. And wanting, because the other thing is that we're 6 years apart. So like when it was just me for a while, I would have my cousins. All my cousins my age are boys. We spent a lot of time together. And thus I got my patience and temperament to become an educator. Mostly the two buckets were family and school, because I didn't have too many hobbies. I continued for a long time, and I definitely didn't. I did a lot of hobbies that were independent growth, like dance. I didn't do a lot of team activities, so I definitely didn't get those skills till later. And probably more of my team building was career based, because I've always said, like, teamwork. Or why do I have, you know, I don't want to wait for someone else. I don't want someone else to rush me. I don't want to. So I learned all those things later on. And, you know, I always praise that I love the team I'm on now, because it probably was the best team experience to get that, you know, that reflection you get from others. So a little bit independent friendships, but mostly in those buckets, family and school. And also we're, you know, playing with other kids, because we ran around with what our family was doing. We didn't really have our own social calendars, which I think is also really different with our kids, that they kind of manage our calendar based on their interests.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's really different.
Yeah. So the way that we were thinking about this is that the parent mingler comes with a couple different motives behind it. Right. So you have your friend management and Memes. Like, this one I thought was easier because I was like, oh, this is like structured stuff. Right. They go to school, they make some friends, they join a sport, they do an activity, they go to a certain location. Like for us, we go to church every Sunday. So you're naturally going to gain friends there. But as they got older and what I started seeing, because it might just be because we live in North Carolina, and the way that Charlotte is built is all these different subdivisions. that I started seeing people only know people within their 15-minute radius. And that really bothered me because I'm like, the world is so much bigger than 15 minutes from your house. So I made it a point and I took it upon myself to make sure that my son, who, like a lot of my kids, they've gone to preschool at one school, but and then actually continued doing their education at a different school, that they wouldn't lose those friendships. So I go out of my way to make sure that when they're young and they don't have a cell phone and they really don't even know that they want to play with that friend necessarily, to stay connected with that friend that they made at 3 years old and continue that friendship until they're able to actually manage it themselves and voice whether or not they really enjoy hanging out with that person or not. So that piece of it, I don't remember doing that so much growing up or witnessing our parents manage that so much growing up, because we kind of had the friends at school, friends on our sports teams, and then family. That I like the friend management thing is very stressful to me because I have 4 sons. So I'm like running through the list. I'm like, oh, because even with my older son, Torn Tribe, I don't write it off as not being a parent mingler. I just have a different angle and interest as to why I'm doing that. Because as my son gets older and he's about to graduate college, I'm like, my heart's desire is that he doesn't become a hermit and live alone the rest of his life, right? So I'm like, really think about where you have friends. Did friends move to Raleigh? There's a couple of friends that moved to Raleigh, so maybe that's a good city to look at, you know? Like, you don't want to go to no man's land. And so I do, in that part, still play a role in helping friend management or to bring things to light that, you know, the 22-year-old is probably not thinking about because he's just concerned about graduating college, right? And finding a job, which are all great things, but you can't do life alone and it helps balance everything. And so as they're younger, like for Philip, who just finished preschool and is in kindergarten, he has friends that he had in preschool. And I try to stay in contact and not just have them only socialize with people that they don't have to make an effort to socialize with. Because I think that's the other incentive that I have behind it, Torn Tribe, is that I don't want my children to be the end of the friendship, the part of the friendship that never extends a hand because the person lives 30 minutes away or the person that no longer goes to their school. I want them to have broader horizons so that they can have conversations and find interest in other people, regardless if they're doing exactly what they're doing or not.
Mm-hmm. So. Ever the career counselor, I look at my network and the kids of my friends and family networks, and I really intentionally make it about more exposure to that. So as much as I do museum, you know, I did museum visits with Soph before she could really articulate what she thought of museum visits. I also really admire the strengths and different experiences of my friends. And then that's in my kids' network. And I try to make her very intentional about how we spend time. And then sometimes it's difficult because, you know, she can steal the show and we'll be catching up with friends and it's all about her catching up with my friends or catching up with my friends' kids that are older. Like, we have a Club 18 where Soph is 18 years younger than my friend's daughter, who's 18 years younger than me, and I am 18 years younger than my friend. Really weird, but that's our Club 18 and we hang together. So all those generations, experiences, learning, I try to give that example. And so in the management, it's me managing my connections with my friends, but it's also this other phase of being a parent and my family sharing with my circle of friends and my circle of career, you know, colleagues and career networks. But then that is like a mentor kind of angle. And then any of my friends, I happened to be born in a year that lots of people in my circle had kids. So there's regular birthday parties throughout the year, and there are pumpkin picking events, and there are, so there's theme things, there's traditions, there's the family connections. And while she is, you know, thick as thieves with her cousins and her godbrother, it's also the school thing for SOAP worked the opposite way. We changed so much and moved in a couple of years, and my work schedule doesn't allow for me to really interact with parents at drop off and pick up. So we really didn't have a, we exchanged information. Like they were kind of like, you're inviting everybody to an event, or you're bringing goodie bags for everybody. So there was really no exchange between parents if you weren't standing there after school or standing there for pickup. And I usually did early drop off based on my work schedule. So this last year and a half have been the first, like, in the same place, community based, because sometimes her schools were a little far from like our 15 minute neighborhood stuff. So when I went to the library or I went to community activities, I wasn't necessarily seeing people she was in daycare with or people that she was in school with. And this is the first year and a half, which I really do appreciate, being in the same community where it's like there's the community pool and we see people. The first summer was really hard because we moved and we didn't know anyone and she wasn't in school yet. But this summer felt very different because we did have a year of school. There were kids her age. There were people we saw in the neighborhood. Now she's in Girl Scouts, so building that locally. And then honestly, versus the North Carolina thing in New York, while you're not in 15 minutes, you're always in the tri-state area with all your people. Like your people are never usually down the block or around the corner. It, you know, I have people in New Jersey. I have people South Jersey for some of the summer, on Long Island, in Queens. The other, you know, within the boroughs of the city. So it kind of extends your network. And then if you're going to friends' birthday parties and they have their school friends or they have their family there. So it's kind of an endless pool. And I like it for the variety. I just also like the having to figure yourself out around different people, right? Because we know when we were around our family, we always knew the cousins we would always spend the time with or the ones we saw. But you had sometimes those, I think I remember this most from when Papi played baseball, where there were these like fake cousins or fake, you know, fake family, because you saw them all the time and you would spend time, but you didn't necessarily keep those connections, or they didn't live in the area, or as we grew older, we didn't stay friends. And I'm hoping that with these huge networks, SOAP will have a variety of like levels of friendship, right? Like she could go on a summer trip with anyone in that network. And they're not in the same school, but they might have some really great bonding travel experience or camp experience or something like that, that would allow her to really have a really wide variety of friends.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on a good point where socialization is critical to child development. So even Torn Tribe, even though I started my parenting journey homeschooling my son, socialization is always the thing that people point out with homeschool families, right? They're always like, so how are you going to do the socialization if they're always home and they're not in school around other children? Well, people have gotten creative, and because there's tons of families that homeschool now, they actually do midweek co-ops where they're actually taking classes and doing school with other children their age and having a different parent teach them. But even during those years, friend management came into play, because that's exactly what I needed was, yeah, we're going to homeschool because of the special circumstances that we were in, but I didn't want to have a child that was socially awkward or not aware of how to socialize, right? And get overwhelmed by being around a lot of people, or how to start a conversation, or how to communicate when you're an introvert and you don't really enjoy being around people for hours on end, right? So I think the more we expose them to different people, whether they're in our network or at their schools or cross paths in their dailies, I think it's important that we do take an active role in helping them, you know, get exposed to different people and set up time to meet with their friends. And it doesn't take long. Even the four-year-olds know exactly who they want to hang out with. So encourage your child to share with you that one friend that they love to talk about, and you just quite haven't picked up their name yet. So ask your kid. And then the other part of this parent mingler dimension is coming up with commitment limits. Because if you have more than one child, it can be daunting and a lot to build a calendar and get through a week where you're doing the typical like school day and then after school events to then put something on your calendar for a weekend meetup. I still get anxiety about that. So I don't think you ever get to a point where scheduling a play date or creating white space for unstructured meetups becomes less stressful. I will say the more intentional you are with it, it gets a little bit better. But I think it's a great way to teach our kids how you can't spread yourself too thin.
And that I think it's important to get a pulse of as they get older, because I find this with like my book clubs or anything that I want to happen on a regular cadence, because I think that's really the balance you have to find with where do I put my commitment limits, where do I do the unstructured time, how often and at what cadence do these things happen, as well as how much do the events happen. Figuring out if people want the yes, this is set in stone in my book regularly. I think there's just seasons of life that's harder. I think when your kids are little and you could wake up on a Saturday morning and all of a sudden you have a sick kid, things like that happen. But what is that group's comfort level or commitment level or flexibility around setting up a common place, a common activity. If you are comfortable with welcoming and you like having guests, if someone in the group is comfortable with having guests, especially at those younger ages, during different seasons in different cities. Because I think it can get difficult to balance with where everyone is and everyone's commitments. But I think if you get a sense of what that group's flow is, like I just sent a group chat a like date 6 weeks away, because I know that's the only way we're probably going to land somewhere in meeting over the next 2 months.
Correct. Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, you know, but some people that feels heavy, or like if something were to come up because you planned it so far in advance, but we all have to kind of give each other grace and know things come up and other things get on the calendar and other things have priority, but you just try to keep that consistency, but getting a pulse on like which works best. Who's comfortable with the impromptu call of, hey, I have a free afternoon and I'm going to be at the park with the kids. Like, you can come, you don't have to come. No offense if you can't make it, right? But you open it up. And trying to have those that are structured and things that can be a little looser also.
Yeah. And I think the other big piece of making sure you're helping your children mingle, and this is one thing I constantly say to my boys, is that I want them to be individuals that understand other people's interests so that they can determine, is it a time to put their own interests to the side and be more interested in what the other person is interested in? And it comes along with this whole idea of being grateful and celebrating others. When we live in isolation, we tend to only think of our needs, and then we only tend to see things from our perspective, and it's a very limited view of life. And so I always love for them to be around others, to celebrate other people's wins, victories, and even be there to be a shoulder for a friend to cry on when their friend isn't on a mountaintop, right? But in a valley low. And then the span of friends for that celebration. We have friends with children that are 2 or 1, you know, not ages even close to my 4 boys, but I still have them hang out with them because I think it's also important to be able to relate to people on all different parts of the life journey and not just people their age or people that do exactly the things that they do. So we emphasize like FaceTime with their cousin who's in New York, you know, and even FaceTime with their friends. Like there was a season, Torn Tribe, and I made it through because I'll tell you this, kids, FaceTime and games and the goofy faces. Thank you, iPhone, for all the goofy faces you can put on FaceTime. With their friends, it was kind of getting hard because they would call their friends at random times and like, you guys don't even have your own phone. I need my phone. Like, and then I thought it was like, oh, our parents had it easy because they had the landline. Nobody was showing faces. But we do prioritize allowing them to like FaceTime their friends or writing cards or, you know, the special random phone calls to connect with folks and let people know that they're thinking of them and just learning how to have basic conversation.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how at some really young age, kids will almost like mirror each other so easily. Like, you want peanut butter, I want peanut butter. And the moms are, you know, the parents are looking at each other because like, they never eat peanut butter.
At yeah.
But it's like, I'm just going to, you know, they order what the other one's ordering. And I'm like, you're allergic to that. You can't have that. or, you know, that's not a juice. Well, Soph's known for this. She won't drink things here that she's famous for drinking down at her BS house. I'm like, really? Watermelon juice? Sure. but then they get to a phase, like you said, that it is about their interest and what they want to do in this, you know, and you could go through phases of convincing others to want to do what you do. But I think it is that knowing the temperature check and the pulse of like, my friend's been a little quiet or, you know, they don't look like they're with me. Or I just read a story with Soph where the friend was excited that there was going to be a new person at school. And so they were kind of neglecting their old friend and how that can make others feel. But even that, the new friends and who's the best friend. And let me tell you, I'm feeling torn. Like Soph has a really close friend from her first grade class. They're not in the same class. There's a new close friend in second grade. And it makes me sweat. I'm just like, is everybody feeling loved? And is everybody feeling like validated? And
yeah.
That the friendship is okay. Do the other friends get along? Because I know that becomes an issue. And can they share time? But just telling them they can navigate it. Our hearts have room for everybody. But the kindness, the consideration, the not leaving people out, not forgetting how important that person's time and attention was at different phases and that they want your time and attention as well. When you have new friends, can definitely help them navigate future dynamics.
Yeah. And it just gets stickier, meme, as they enter middle school. So I always try to convince my boys. I'm like, keep it even. Like always go like the group of three that will always have tension. But if you find that fourth guy, I promise you, be a world of difference. So keep it even. 2, 4, 6, you know, keep it even. I don't know why that is, but 3, somebody always ends up being the wheel. You know, but yeah, teaching them how to balance that, which goes along with the other reason mingling is important for them, is love and acceptance, right? So I always tell my boys, like, just because that person doesn't love everything that you love does not mean you cannot be friends. Mm-hmm. And that's been really fun to watch in my second oldest son, who I've seen go through all the stages with all these different friends, and seeing him grow and realize the friends that he can call and talk to about serious stuff and the friends that he can just goof off with, right? And then just seeing his way of understanding and accepting where they're at and then how they interact with each other. It's not all the same. And it doesn't cause him to like one friend more than the other. It makes him actually realize which friend he actually needs in different seasons of his life or different moments of the day. So exposure to those different personalities is also really amazing. And I always tell my boys, like, it's better to surround yourself with people that are nothing like you, because then you end up in worlds that you never thought you would end up in, rather than groupthink, right? Mm-hmm. So that brings us to awareness meme. Have you seen Sophie grow in the awareness of others and her own self, like self-reflection, as she's journeyed?
I think we're still in the stage of their exploration together. It's like that bravery they find in each other's company to ask the questions, to navigate, to figure out what they like, what they don't like, what activities they want to do, how they come to agreements about things. I think I'm more from the observer end, seeing what kind of friends they are to each other. And I'm always very curious also of Justin's approach, because he's very mellow, but he is kind of like, I'm in or I'm out on things. And at 21, about to be 22, I find very consistent, like, this is who I shop with, and this is who I play the games with and hang out with, or this is who I party with. But still very true to, like, middle school, high school friends who happen to go to college with him, or he still sees when he comes home. And I admire that, because I think it's just showing, like, character traits, loyalty, comfortability, like, what do I value, and carrying things long term. I think Sophie sees that example too, and is starting to plant the seeds to that kind of friendship.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it's been interesting watching all four of my sons in the friend circle, and just seeing how they have something I never had, which is 100% comfortable with who they are. I don't see them shying away and trying to morph into something that they're not, just because other people will laugh or other people will have something to say. They're just, I guess, unapologetically themselves. And I just never felt that brave at that age to just be, this is me. This is me. So I really admire that about them, because Phil's like, no, I don't like that. So that's cool that you like that, but no, I still don't like that. Or Zeke, who could just do anything on his own. Like, he doesn't need the fanfare or the agreement. He's just gonna go, and he's been fortunate enough to draw a crowd. So, but that confidence that they say what they're thinking, they're still at that phase where filters aren't really applied. And when they hurt someone's feelings, they'll apologize. But I'm saying, like, they will give you their raw answer. They're not trying to appease or people please. Which I think is very interesting, especially in all the different circles that they're in. And so lately, we've been going to this, on Saturdays, we've been going to this Messianic congregation. And so for the past 2 weeks, they've gone to their children's ministry. And it's really, like, Zeke just made me laugh, because he's like, Mom, you know, they ask questions, I answer the questions. He's like, but majority of the class, they're Jewish, right? And so he's like, I told them, I'm not Jewish. And they still accepted me. I was like, yes, Zeke. That's the whole purpose of the community in the first place. But I just thought that was hilarious that he didn't try to fake being something that he's not just because the majority are something. And so I was just really proud of him to still be honest and true to who he is and then feel the love and acceptance from the group. I'm happy it went that way. But I throw them
value
in
value it, right?
Yeah.
Because he's discerning that it didn't happen. Like, he's very aware that acceptance and comfort over difference can be an issue.
Yeah, so the fact that that was, like, the first thing he said when he came out of the class just cracked me up. I was like, oh my gosh, here we go. Zeke and his stories. But Torn Tri, we would love to hear from you all on your parent mingler experience. What are your torn moments with it? And what are your mended moments?
And now for our men's segment, where we share a highlight from the week.
And so memes, moving on to our men's segment of the show, where we share what's helping us keep it all together in this parenting journey. What's mending you?
So I've mentioned a lot that I've been like on my hero, my own personal hero's journey reflection, and like trying not to forget the things that brought me epiphanies and keep living in that, living from those lessons. And I circled back to, I just came across an opportunity to be in a, it's called the Time to Rise Summit, and it's hosted by Tony Robbins. And why that's full circle is because Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within is probably the second self-help book I found sophomore, junior year in high school. And it just spoke to me, the things of what you question and your habits. And I think it's the first time that I'm ready to like match his energy, because as I continued following and into Date with Destiny, and he has his Unleash the Power Within and all these other summits that he's had, the energy piece is the one that I've always like hesitated, but I think I'm, you know, the when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And circling back has helped me reflect on who was approaching that book in high school and who's approaching this summit and what I'm taking from it and what I'm bringing back home and to my team and to my students. And just really, really feeling full and like I get the elixir I'm intended to bring back to my community, and that feels really good.
That's really awesome. Man, I did not realize that you were reading self-help books in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing, eating Fruit Loops somewhere.
The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck was my first one. Then it was Awaken the Giant Within. And then Deepak didn't really have texts that I could get into, but he was on PBS all the time. And then
really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then Oprah. Yeah, he goes back that far. That's why when he started this meditation with Oprah, I was like, yes, Oprah. Put him on the path. Put everybody on the path. Because that was the talk show that was starting to have the Seed of the Soul. And like all these people that now are so mainstream mindfulness. It was me in the 80s watching all this stuff as a kid. And knowing there was something in this message for me and starting to put that together.
So crazy. I don't think I've read a self-help book, Torn Tri. And we grew up in the same household until like, I don't even know, maybe 30. I don't even know. I was stuck in Lord of the Rings and Lord of the Flies and To Kill a Mockingbird world and Toni Morrison. So what is mending me? Well, the 2 weekends ago or a weekend ago, me and Steve, we went to a marriage conference. And so it was just really cool to get time for 2 days to go somewhere and just focus on our marriage and like talk about things that we haven't actually like thought about or spoken about in years. So getting to talk about what our family values, what do we see, how we've morphed into who we are today because of parenting and all that, and just realizing how much parenting has impacted our marriage, grown it, stretched it, and made us different people than when we were just, you know, early on in our married days. So getting time to just focus on our marriage was nice, and being able to have questions that helped guide us through not making it about the kids and like keeping our marriage as a two-person unit and not having to only always think about the four other dependents was also refreshing to remember that even once they leave the nest, we will still have each other, even if right now we feel like two ships in the night. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great to be able to take the time. And...
Yeah, yeah. And it came out of like nowhere in December. I was like, I heard it and I was like, oh, we're signing up for that. We're doing that. I didn't really know what to expect. And then my brain, by the end of the conference, because the speaker had just shared so much knowledge and truth, and I told him, I said, by the end of the weekend, I felt like a sponge that was oversaturated, that I don't feel like I caught everything because I couldn't take in any more lessons. I couldn't take in any more, but I feel like I caught what I needed to catch and start. And it has just led to, after that, like better communication and actually noticing things that I took for granted before and Torn Tribe. I'm actually getting thank yous now for things that I've been doing for years, aka laundry. It's like, yeah, thank you guys. The clean underwear doesn't just miraculously appear. You're welcome. So, memes, tell our folks how to stay connected with us.
Well, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at TornMLB, and drop us an email. Reach us at tornmlb@gmail.com. Thanks for joining.